And yeah, I guess I've been vaping pretty heavy. I don't know, I've been stressed. Yeah,
dude, let me show you. That's how much I vaped out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've been vaping other things. It's not like that's all you vaped since Friday, though, right? Please don't tell me that's the case.
I vaped quite a bit yesterday.
Yeah, well, I vaped like what? That's like 70 mils? 65 mils? Maybe? Yeah. No, it's not 70. It's probably like 65.
Yeah, probably.
Well, that's 48 hours almost. I mean, I started vaping it almost 48 hours ago.
Just plowing through it. Oh, shit. What do you say, boy? Should we get into this thing?
Yeah, I'm ready, dude.
All right, let's rip this. It's the Shed Time Podcast in 3, 2, 1. Let's hit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to Shed Time. What is Shed Time, you ask? Well, it's code for the consumption of cannabis, but it's much more than that. Shed Time's a state of mind. It's art, it's music, it's cryptocurrency, technology, it's food, it's vaping. It can be whatever you want it to be, as long as you're not letting the bastards get you down, not being a dick, and making it fun. When you're in the shed, it's whatever your mind allows you to create. So now let's get to the Shed Time Podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Shed Time Podcast, and thank God we're here, because it's been a crazy week for me, and I know I told you guys earlier in the week that I was going to save the story of how crazy some shit had been until the show, and the reason I wanted to save it for the show is because it actually starts with the show. So we finished doing the show last week, the show renders and everything. I have dinner. I sit down back here in the studio, ready to chill out a little bit. All of a sudden, I'm in the middle of moving some things around. You see here now, I got plants behind me. And all of a sudden, I notice that like the lights above me just suddenly cut out. And suddenly, my large TV screen that I use as a monitor shuts off. And I'm going, all right, this is weird. All of a sudden, all the power that was running the computer shuts off. So I immediately, I shut off the power strip. I turn the power strip back on a couple minutes later. My mixing board has the lights just going up and down, but there's no signal going through it. My lights above me just start kind of like flickering. They're not actually working. I ended up figuring out that I've lost power completely on this whole wall. And then it also turns out that I've also lost power in my sunroom. So the light upstairs in the sunroom will not turn on. And it's weird because there was just enough power, right? Like I run fish tanks all over my house. There's just enough power to say run fish tank lights, but not filters.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Super friggin' bizarre. So that was Sunday. So now this is going on in my studio. I'm not really sure what the hell to make of it. So I call my landlord. We get a electrician here Monday morning. He's checking all my internals
at the box.
The box, yeah. At the circuit breakers, everything's fine. I have no problems with my breakers. Everything's fine in there. We can't figure out what's going on. Everything's fine. So he's thinking, all right, well, maybe, we were overloading a circuit or something, and it was just this weird moment of it faulting. All right, cool. So we wrap all that up. I go, and I head to work. So, late start that morning. Now I'm at work, and I'm talking to the guys I work with, and they're like, that sounds an awful lot like a bad ground. Like, you might want to call your electrical company and see if you have a bad ground outside somewhere. And all right, cool. That's a good idea. I call the electric company. They come out. The guy from the electric company gets to my house, and my wife greets him and everything. He goes, he looks up, and he goes, "Oh, I see the problem already. The main line that goes into my house, a tree had literally grown around the main electrical line. And so in the high winds during the storm on Sunday after the podcast, it was literally pulling on the electrical lines. And that's why I was getting these weird power dips."
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah. I mean, good thing. So I'm assuming that they just like cut that off and then replaced it?
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what they had to do.
Well, at least that's a remedy, right? Like, that's like an actual fix, not just like a, well, we'll have to wait until the problems arise again and we'll have to troubleshoot.
Yeah, no, thankfully you're right. That was fixed. They were able to cut that main line.
The standard question, the standard tech question, is it plugged in?
Did you reset it?
Did you turn it on?
So true. So yeah, he gets that all fixed and everything. Not 2 days later, another small wind storm comes through. We lose power again. My wife sends me a message. I hear this huge explosion. What is it? Right across the street from my house, transformer on the pole blows up.
Oh, shit. Yo, what?
We got some electrical ghosts around your fucking house, dude.
Well, that's what happens when you live in super, super old areas, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty much it. We got hit with a really bad wind and rainstorm about a month ago, and it severely damaged a lot of the power grid around here. Took out a lot of power lines throughout the neighborhood, everything. And so it's like, ever since then, everybody's slowly having other issues along the chain. So it's been an interesting week, boys. I've been going through some crazy shit, and I'm just grateful that we've made it to Sunday, because that means I get to kick it with the boys, get ripped. I've been loading this Rainbow Sherbet number 11 into the old G-Pen Dash and just giving her some old Tootskies. Delicious warm vapes coming out of this right now. It's been awesome. And I was doing some browsing through the news, some weed news actually, and I've come across some interesting cannabis news that I wanted to bring up to you guys and see what you guys thought about this. So
hold on, let me pull up my schnazzy new Stizzy battery case, charger, and pod carrier, and get some rips in real quick while you tell us about this here news.
Absolutely. I love that thing. That thing is super slick.
Did I mention that it comes with like this cool little like wireless fucking dongle thingy? So you just drop it in there and it starts charging automatically.
So
smart. You don't have to worry about plugging nothing in. So you can put it in there with a pod and have a space for an extra pod. Or if you want to charge it and not have your pod in there, you take it out, put it over there, close it up. Case charges it. Bada bing, bada boom. Pretty damn sweet. Got it for a penny. Can't beat that when you got deals like that at the dispensary.
Damn fine dispensary deal. Gotta love a penny deal. I'm a big fan of the penny deal. And first news story that I wanted to bring up for you guys, I thought this one was super interesting, popped off just a few days ago, January 8th. This one's coming from MJ Biz Daily. Canada destroyed 3.7 million pounds of unsold, unpackaged cannabis since 2018.
Damn.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Whoa, dude, this thing hit pretty fucking hard. Got liquid diamonds.
Says, Canadian operators destroyed millions of packages of unsold cannabis products and a record amount of unpackaged dried flower in 2022 and the first half of 2023, largely because of years of imbalance in supply and demand. According to data shared by Health Canada, the federal cannabis regulator, 611.7 million grams, that's 1.3 million pounds, of unpackaged cannabis was destroyed by licensed producers in 2022, an increase of nearly 44% over the 425.3 million grams destroyed the previous year.
Damn, dude.
So what I find really interesting is that oversupply is rampant everywhere. Like, it's an interesting notion of the cannabis industry, and something that they face is the fact that, like, there's constantly an oversupply of weed. It just continuously happens. People grow really good weed really quickly in large amounts, and then there's just too much weed and not enough people to buy it.
Which makes sense. Like, what would make that different than anything else, right?
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, when you have a shelf life on a product like this, that's what's going to happen. And I think that's interesting that, like, in juxtaposition of that, we have places like Maine where they'll sell that weed from, you know, 2020, even here in 2024.
Yeah, well, which is crazy.
You just got to think, too. It's just like, not only is it the amount of people that are now growing and trying to get into the industry, you got to just think of the variety of things that are out there now, too. So it's like, not only do you have, you know, 100 companies putting out products, but those 100 companies have probably about 10 different, you know, strains under their fucking belts, and they're producing about the same amount of each strain, and some sell better than others. So sometimes you end up with, you know, fucking pounds and pounds and pounds of this stuff that's not moving as quick as this other shit that you're growing the same amount of, and you can't keep it on the shelves. It's just between the selection, like you're saying, the fucking supply and demand. It's just, it's fucking crazy, dude. There's so much stuff out there now that the market's just oversaturated in every aspect of the market now. It's insane.
It's entirely true. And it's not like alcohol where it can just sit on a shelf for years. Like, it has to move. It has to get consumed because it's going to continue to degrade over time as it's stored. Another interesting one I came across, and I think we can all enjoy this story, at least here in the U.S. I mean, it's a nothing burger for Chris, really, in Canada. But the feds release marijuana documents confirming Schedule 3 recommendation based on accepted medical use. Now, this is coming from marijuanamoment.net, and it says the U.S. government has released hundreds of pages of documents related to its ongoing review of marijuana status under federal law, officially confirming for the first time that health officials have recommended the DEA place cannabis in Schedule 3 of the Controlled Substance Act. So the 252 pages of documents from the Department of Health and Human Services explain that cannabis has a currently accepted medical use and treatment in the United States and has a potential for abuse less than the drugs or other substances in Schedules 1 and 2. Federal health officials said their review found that more than 30,000 healthcare professionals across 43 U.S. jurisdictions are authorized to recommend the medical use of marijuana for more than 6 million registered patients for at least 15 medical conditions. So that's a really cool little piece right there.
Step in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. We are hopefully going to see a continued movement that way. And honestly, not that, like, we are known to get super political here on this show, but from a perspective of the current administration, right, in an election year, they already are fully aware that if they can give the cannabis voters a win right before election time, they're probably going to remember that and continue to propel that person into the presidency further.
Oh, yeah, so, 100%. At the end of the day, as much as we'd like to thing it's for you know, the benefit of us as U.S. citizens, it's more for the benefit of whoever's running at the moment. Because right now, like you said, Sean, right now everybody's fighting for votes. You know what I mean? Like we're creeping up to that election, and they're going to start, you're going to see a lot of people start pushing ideals and different things that they say they're going to do once they get into office that are going to help sway voters one way or the other. It's, you know, it's just the way.
Will that be like this November?
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, man. If
and then
if
like Biden, the new president gets sworn in like about a year from right now.
Right? Yeah.
Again, like January of 25, they'll be sworn in.
Yeah.
Like it's somewhere around our birthdays.
Yeah.
From what I always
remember. I just had to think that all through. It's like, 25. Yeah. Holy crap. It's 2024.
crazy.
Yeah, man. Dude, you're turning really old in like 3 days.
Yeah, bro. By the time listeners hear this, my birthday will have already passed. But yeah, dude, my birthday is coming.
Oh, yeah. I won't dox your birthday date wise, but it's in January.
Let's put man.
I'll do that.
And it's that's a crazy notion, right? Because I've been thinking about the fact that, like, all right, technically speaking, in America, the average lifespan of the average male is not 80. It's not 80 years. It's like 70 something. And when you think about it from that perspective, it's like, holy shit, I'm basically middle aged now. Whoa.
Yeah, you're like definitely getting into that area.
Like, yeah, I'm at the early stages of middle age.
Like you're
I'm
like that peak, guy. You're like peak middle age. If you are middle age, you're like peak. You know, you're like, I'm in my peak physical shape. I'm the best specimen I can be to being middle age. But like,
it's
I would consider myself more middle aged than you, to be honest. Even though I guess like by that same metric, like I'd be well into my middle aged years.
Exactly. But that's the crazy part, right? Like growing up. When you think about the middle-aged guy, we're usually referencing a dude in his like 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, if that's the middle age of their life, that means that they're reaching between 80 and 100. And the likelihood of that is very slim with most people's lifestyles. So it's like, wow, that's a crazy concept. Like, sure, it's not unheard of for people to get into their 80s and 90s. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying that it's not as common as people, you know, making it only into their 70s. And so it's like, wow, that's a trip. Like, you could literally be in your middle ages right now, in your late 30s.
Yeah, and I mean, depending on where you live in the world, I mean, it's not like life expectancy in Africa is 70s, right? Like I remember learning in school, like, dude, there's places in Africa that life expectancy was like in the fucking early 40s, bro,
right?
So like, and there's places in Africa in the 80s. Now this is in the 80s, maybe it's a little bit better now, I don't know. Like I'd be dead or I'd be like an extremely old person in that location, not even feeling really that old. You know what I mean? But
well, that's the thing,
I do appreciate right? that I am not advanced. That sounds like really bad, but like I do understand that like I'm well into my life at this point. Let's just put it that way.
It's
I'm not weird, close to the starting point.
It's that weird moment where it's like you have that recognition of the fact that like though I have advanced in years, mentally, I don't feel like I'm any different than I was when I was, you know, 15 years back, let's say. And it's like, wow, that's crazy. Like, I'm here now.
That is a trippy thought, though, dude, because that's something that goes through my mind quite often. You know what I mean? Depending on, like, the situation. You know, like, okay, here's a perfect example here. I'm at in a fucking amusement park with a group of friends or whatever, dude. And I'm standing in line to get on this fucking roller coaster. And in my head, I am still that 11, 12-year-old kid that's getting on the roller coaster for the first time, feeling that fucking rush and that excitement, dude. That's in my head. That's what I am at that moment, regardless of being 32 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and I, it's like, it's weird. Cause I like all those thoughts and feelings and stuff that I had when I was that age are still there. Everything's still there. You know what I mean? Of course, I have gained a lot of knowledge of different things over the years. And sometimes I forget, like, oh, wait, yeah, like I know things. You know what I mean? Because I still feel in my heart of hearts like I'm still that young, like maybe more around like 18 to 21 year old kid that's, you know, able to do his own thing, but at the same time still is just a fucking large child. You know,
dude,
weird. It was weird, bro. Because like the only time it really hits me is when like some sort of responsibility or like adult decision pops up. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know what? Oh, fuck. Do I go out and do this, or do I make sure that this bill's paid? Or like recently I had to go to the dentist and I have to get some dental work done and figuring out how that's going to get taken care of. You know what I mean? And like, making like financial decisions and life decisions and things that are actually, you know, big, you know, choices to be made compared to, do I want French fries with my burger or am I end up going to get some chicken nuggets sort of thing, which is still a fucking thing that happens on a daily basis for me, boys. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird, like the flip flop.
I am 37 years old. You will still find Dino Nuggets in my freezer.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Like, I just bought some at the store the other day.
You know, like, it happens, man. My wife and I fuck with the Dino Nuggets heavy, and we are proud.
They're perfect.
Of it.
Toss some in the air fryer for, like, 15, 20 minutes, pop them out, and then you fucking got a little, nice little fucking snack or meal. You know what I mean? Throw some tater tots in there with them, so you got some fucking nuggies and tots.
It totally does make me appreciate what our parents went through, right? Because like I think about, like, I know when my father was my age, I was alive, and it's like, wow, dude, like you were like me but having to raise me at this age.
Dude, that's the thing that boggles my mind all the time, is like thinking about, like, at my age, you know, my mom already had 3 kids. You know what I mean? And it's like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, bro.
Couldn't even imagine.
My mother at this age had already been married for the second time. You know, my father by this age had already been married to my mother and had already had me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think about the fact that, like, they had the house that they had when they were in, you know, that age range, and they were raising me then, and the place that I was living in my 30s, you know, and it's like, wow, it's that, those kind of moments where you realize, like, and I think we've talked about it before, how there's no life handbook, right?
Oh, not at all.
Nobody, you don't just turn a certain age and get handed a book that's like, here's the answers, guys. This is how we navigate all these things that happen in life. You just, like, you graduate high school, and if you don't even go to college, if you're just like me who just graduated high school and, like, went into the work world and did your thing, like, you just suddenly had to go do stuff and be an adult suddenly, and that's actually kind of fucking weird.
Yeah. It's a weird concept.
Like, all right, dog, go get your place and go pay some bills and make sure all the shit gets done and don't fuck up. And good luck if you do fuck up, because shit's going to be really tough.
It's going to take you a long time to recover from that.
Thrown out into the world with zero guidance, bro.
I remember being like 21, getting the apartment with the homies, thinking like, yeah, life is dope. And then realizing, wait, I got to fucking find a job now in this new city and fucking start paying rent ASAP. And fuck, I also need to make sure I got money for groceries while I live here. Like, oh, fuck. And I mean, how do I do my laundry? Oh, it's a quarter machine downstairs because this isn't home anymore. Like, oh, my God.
Wild, man.
It's so crazy.
Well, man. I do think that it was like very different, like for my parents, because like when I was like done, you know, going to school and stuff, the first time, I was like 21. I just was like, I just need to find an apartment in the city and I'm just going to like roll that way, whatever. And so it just was like very different than what it would be, you know, the 30 years previous to that. It was like much more simple, you know, like you basically had things planned out to the idea of like, oh, it's like, oh, I know that I'm going to be doing this. I know that I'm going to be doing that. I know that I'm going to wait until I get married. And then all these things like would happen very quickly. Do you know what I mean? And it's, so it's like, it's just so different for like what my generation was compared to like that generation before, where it was like, you know, you live with your parents, you finish school, you got married at 20, 21, and then you would start your life as an adult, you know, where it was definitely not like that.
It's crazy. 'Cause now like I feel for these kids nowadays, man, like the world that they go into is so competitive.
Yeah. It's like a whole new type of pressure, dude, through social media. Like when it comes to not only like what you look like, but what you're listening to, what you're wearing, you know, what you're fucking, just your whole life, you know what I mean, is like on the fucking display for everybody, you know what I mean?
It makes crazy, me dude, think
it's, I don't know,
it's like it's the old notion of like, you know, your parents talk about being in the rat race, and it's like now your whole life is a rat race.
Yeah. But the worst part about it is like it's gotten to the point where you can make money doing it. So all these young kids, like there's been surveys done where they ask kids in about like, I'm not sure exactly what the number is, but a very, very high percentage of them all say they want to be a social media influencer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
no doctors, no lawyers, no plumbers, no carpenters, no nothing, like no tradesmen, just famous social media.
Well, it's like you see, I've been seeing it for a little while now. There's a shortage of people going into police work. There's a shortage of people going into fire. There's a shortage of people going into EMS. Like I work in a trade that heavily interacts with these municipal services like that, and I hear it all the time, like there's like the numbers of recruits just aren't there, and so now like all of these services are understaffed. And then you think about all the other industries, like in the service industries, that are understaffed. Oh, I got a light that's like tripping.
But you gotta think about it too, it's like at a certain point everybody wants to be a social media influencer or famous or something at some point. Who's going to build our houses? Who's going to do the electricity? Who's going to run the plumbing? Who's going to do this? Because nobody's going to fucking trade school or going into these types of jobs. So the workforce is fucking dying. And at a certain point, all these old heads that are still hanging in there fucking getting the jobs done aren't going to be around. And then we're going to be fucked, because who's going to build the houses as everybody's fucking doing selfies and TikToks?
I mean, you're not wrong. The electrician that came to my house to do the electricity is literally like a man in his 70s. So like, you're not wrong. It's like, it's all these older guys who are still doing these trades, and there's not too many young people coming in. And the crazy part about this is that the money is there.
Yeah.
And the work's really not even that difficult.
Well, it can be if you're not wanting to fucking move around and like actually like be physical, you know what I mean? Not saying like it's like sometimes it could be backbreaking depending on what the job is or whatever, but sometimes it's just, you just got to work, you know what I mean? You can't fucking sit around on your phone scrolling or chatting with your homie or whatever. You got to get in there and get the job done, you know what I mean? And I've seen it a lot just at my shop, because, you know, a lot of the people that are, you know, have stuck around or have been there since I've worked there, a lot of the older cats, you know what I mean? And very few, like the new younger guys that we could come in hang, because a lot of them just don't have the work ethic. They're just coming in to get the paycheck and just whatever they got to do to get through the 8 hours, and then they're out. You know what I mean? When in like the job that I'm in, you know, it's about the more that we put out, the more that we can make, you know what I mean? So let's get in here and get shit done, and fucking we make more money, you know what I'm saying? But these kids just are like, oh, well, how much do I get paid an hour? And then they just count on that weekly pay, not thinking about the bigger picture of like, you know what I mean? We're a company that supplies reels across the entire fucking country, and we're like the second biggest one in the fucking country or whatever. It's like, we got to fucking produce and produce well and not fuck around. And it's hard to get people that actually want to get in there and actually work, dude.
I hear that.
But I get it at the same time as a catch-22. If you could sit around on your ass and make money by just posting, you know, a video here and there every day, shit, sounds like a pretty fucking easy life, right?
Well, I mean, it's the thing, right? Like, not everybody's going to be able to be successful doing that.
Oh, 100%.
And so, like, there's different avenues for everybody. And, like, I think what's happened here is that we've become such a hustle society that, like, people see it as, if I can't make it a sole living, it should at least be a hustle that I'm working, regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it, like, I follow a lot of people who teach the marketing tricks for those hustles, and I've used them in my professional life in marketing. So, you know, like, I get it. And don't get me wrong, I hope one day that this show gets big enough that we could have like an affiliate link and y'all can get a discount and we can get a little slice of something. Like, that'll be wonderful. But, you know, I think there's just different approaches, right? Like, at least we want to work for that. We don't just want to be like, hey, look, this is me, and here's a picture of my thing. Now give me some money.
The world's just a crazy place now, dude.
I think
it's only getting crazier.
If people want to learn to make some money real quick and easy, and they want to do stuff like getting into a trade, like the automotive world is a place where you can make some silly money if you just learn a little bit. Like, I'm in an upfitting shop, so they don't work on engines. They just add stuff to existing new model vehicles. And these dudes can make between $90 and $120 an hour, depending on what the job they're doing is.
Dude, it's the same thing with most trades, dude. Getting into like electrical, welding, you know what I mean? Fucking plumbing, dude. If you actually become a union, you know, plumber, carpenter, you know, iron worker, you can make some fucking good money, dude. You're just going to have to put in long hours and fucking work hard. But at the end of the fucking week, you're going to see that shit on your fucking paycheck. You know what I mean? This is the unfortunate thing, though, dude. This is the part where I kind of understand where some, like, you know, where like the benefit of doing like a job, like maybe social media or something, comes from. Because it does give you the freedom to actually live your life and actually go out and experience things. Because you have a little bit more time maybe to go out and do these things and experience these things, maybe also because of your, you know, whatever you get, are able to obtain through, you know, networking and stuff. And I could see the appeal of that, dude, because that's the one thing that does kind of suck about working like a normal, you know, 9 to 5, or, you know, working, you know, a trade job or something like that, is you work, you know, a majority of your fucking time. And it doesn't really give you the opportunity to really experience as much as you'd like.
But
or maybe take the advantage of it when you can.
You've actually experienced it yourself, as have I, where, you know, though you get to live your life, so to speak, as a influencer of sorts, it's all about the content creation all the time, too. And like, we've both experienced it where we're like, we've been at events trying to create content while we're there. And it's like, you feel like you missed the event because you're so worried about creating the content.
Yeah, I get that, but at the same time, I'm saying you still have way more time to do what you would like, because depending on like what you're doing as far as content goes, you know what I mean. You do have way more freedom than
I mean. Yeah, I don't disagree with you completely at all. Like,
I found my other stizzy.
I just want to add that as a point, but I think ultimately what it comes down to is that I think our work, how do I want to explain this? I think that our approach to work in American society is what is actually broken, right? I think we can see it in, you know, European models, for example, where they're guaranteed a whole bunch of vacation. Like, I think it's a full month worth of vacation time every year.
There was even studies where there's a lot of people were just turning into 4-day work weeks.
That too, the 4-day work
week. And the production picked up, even though they were losing out on a day of work.
So, I mean, like, there's... I feel like if we were in a world where there was just a little, and that's the weird part about it, right? If some of these business owners, not all, but if some of these business owners were a little less greedy and paid people more, gave them better benefits, they'd work harder, production would go up, and they'd make that money back that they sacked that 2% maybe that they sacrificed to put back into their people. They'd make that money back in the increased production their people would provide them.
Well, that's the one thing that I kind of like. I kind of actually reap a little bit of the benefit of with the job that I work at, even though, you know, majority of the time we are working, you know, 5 days a week, 2 days off, you know what I mean? Maybe putting a little bit of overtime. But when they have the opportunity to give us time off or let us cut out early or, you know, give us an extra holiday or something like that, they jump on it, you know what I mean? Or like I was saying, if there's a month where we produce more than we have, you know, or like, I guess I'll just put it into quarters because they kind of do it quarterly. You know, if we'd produce more one quarter than we produced the last one, we get a bigger bonus, you know what I mean, at the end of the week. And then if production keeps picking up and we can sustain that, that means we end up getting more on our hourly check as well as bonuses, you know what I mean? So it's like, if more employers kind of worked more like in that model, which I understand not a lot can because of how big and, you know, vast they may be, I feel like they'd definitely get a lot more production and just cooperation out of their employees. Because, dude, if you treat your employees well, dude, they'll produce for you.
That's the thing, right? Like, when you look at someone like Jeff Bezos and Amazon, he can easily, with the net worth of that company, take 1% of profits less and put that back into paying workers more and doing, you know, other more positive things for workers. And boom, he'll get a better return on that investment from his workers. Pulling a little bit extra, going a little bit further, being a little bit more satisfied. Actually, retention would probably go up, you know, because like...
I agree with you, but at the same time, when I feel like when you get into those big giant corporations like an Amazon or like a Walmart or something like that, like you can try as much as you want at the top to, you know, improve morale down the line. But when you've got a corporation that's that vast and spans that far, dude, and we've got so many different types of people under employment, you're going to have those bad fucking apples that still pop through and make it shitty.
Oh, I don't disagree with you there. We've all had bad managers.
Yeah. Which sucks, dude, because, yep, you know, there could be companies that do actually, you know, try, and but they just have the wrong people in the wrong positions. But, you know, I guess that kind of comes with everything, but it's a bummer.
I think you're right, though. Like, that is going to be an inevitability. But I think
like it's definitely a lot easier to do on a smaller scale. But when you bring it on to like a fucking as big of a scale as like you're saying, like an Amazon or something, I feel like it's a little bit harder to enforce all the way down the line. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's interesting because like you see the battle that like Tesla's going through right now with their refusal to have unions, and Sweden having this extremely heavy union-based workforce, and the way that they're like, no, like this is the way we do things. It's union labor. These are laborers. They would be in our union any other time. They're going to be in our union now. It's been an interesting back and forth as I've been keeping an eye on it in the news, because right now Sweden's holding it down, and people are literally laborers who are part of that union and are connected to it, are in solidarity, doing things like blocking shipments of materials to the Tesla factories in Sweden until they allow these workers to unionize. So I think what we see is that there are other labor models in the world, and I think some of them work better for the people and makes them happier, and in turn they work better, and Sweden might be a great example of it. And if it means that 70 some odd percent of the country, I think it was, uses union labor, let's go. That's what it takes to make people happy at work. Let's go.
Well, Sweden's also like one of those places, like, I guess like Sweden is like socialist, I guess, but like also they really do take like a different approach when it comes to a lot of that stuff. And they're really trying to like make it the most comfortable for people. Like they're like the, one of the first nations to like implement like the 4-day work week and shit. Mm-hmm. So like they obviously do things sort of different than like definitely North America, where I guess like, I don't know if it's like we're far more capitalistic over here, or there's just like much more of the culture of you have to just fucking grind all the time, and like that's how you get through it, is by being a workaholic, and like that's how you live your life. But it seems like in places in Europe, but like specifically in like Sweden, probably like Finland and like some of those other places, like where they are definitely closer to being socialist than they are over here, then it just makes sense that like they're working more for the people as opposed to like for the corporations. But I'm sure that they also have big corporations that make a lot of money also. Like, I don't think that it's like just, you know, all easy street type shit.
I agree. I just think that, like, again, they might have a better labor model that's working if people are in their trades and are happy, and people aren't coming to the trades in the North American region. Because trade work, yes, it's hard work, but it's not hard work. You know what I mean? Like I've worked with some electricians, and like, yeah, you have to learn some shit so that you can be safe. And once you've learned that shit, it's not super difficult to do your job. Yes, it's labor, but it's not like roofing is labor. You know what I mean? Like, you're not carrying stacks of shingles up a ladder in the heat. You know, you're inside running wires, and you know, you're diagnosing wiring problems. Like, it's not nearly as bad. You know, HVAC guys, shout out to HVAC guys. Make sure the heat works. Make sure the AC works. A lot of that stuff.
Make sure that the houses are clean, because you know, they got vacuums.
Those guys are not nearly as labor intensive as, say, landscapers.
Yeah, I think that like landscapers, there's a few other ones that would kind of really be up there, I guess, because just overall construction people,
stonemasons, you know,
yeah, they like would that. Have like pretty laborious jobs, but
at the same time,
we need them too.
If you want to make big bank, right? Like, the dudes who are out here laying asphalt are making some crazy shit, like $70, $80 a friggin' hour.
Well, shit, even the dude just holding the sign, bro. You know how much they make?
If you can get into a region that uses flaggers, right? Like, civilian flaggers instead of police details. For things like DPW work, a civilian flagger can make $35 to $40 an hour. And literally all you do is stand there and direct traffic like you're a traffic cop.
Bank.
Dude, crossing guards make good money. You know all the kids love the crossing guard? If you like kids, dude, become a crossing guard. Dude, it is like part-time work. And if I remember correctly, you're making an easy, I think it's like $20,000 a year. You could do that.
I remember, dude, bus drivers for schools get paid okay even. Like, they only work like 15 hours a week. But they actually get paid, like, decent. Like,
not only that, but if you get the short bus, like I know some of the bus drivers out there, they just have to drive a small van with, like, six kids on it.
Actually, you know what? I should try being a bus driver. That'd be fun. I'd be like Chris Farley, though, from Billy Madison.
Dude.
the thing is,
eating their lunches.
In America, I don't know about Canada, but in America, you can't use cannabis and be a school bus driver.
Oh, you definitely can here. You couldn't do it while under the influence of cannabis, but yeah, you could.
Yeah, like you have to continually pass a drug test.
There's no drug tests up here.
Yeah, it's better than legal there anyway.
But yeah, like it's short hours. You know, you got probably 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon, running your routes, and you're done. You got all the time in between to just do stuff, hang out at the beach, do whatever. Back when I managed the vape shop, one of my regulars was a bus driver, and he drove one of the vans for the special needs kids. So basically, he had like two, maybe three kids every day on each route. That was it. And so, like, once he would run his routes, he'd drop the bus off, and then he'd come grab his car. He'd come hang out at the vape shop for a couple of hours, buy some liquid, shoot the shit for a little bit. Then he'd take off, run a few more errands, and then go pick up the kids.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because, like, if you think about it, like, the bus driver's probably done by, like, 8:30, 8:45, and then they don't have to be back at the school to pick up the kids till probably like 2:15, 2:30.
Right.
So exactly. They do have a pretty good window. Like I currently kind of have that same level of free time during the day. And I will say that there's a lot of days that it flies by really fast.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool jobs out there. Like don't really take a lot of work and are easy money. And like, I won't even lie. My wife and I talk about this all the time. If you go to a place like, say, Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm sure like Tim Hortons and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are companies that have spent millions of dollars studying to figure out the most efficient way to do everything. So
yes.
The idea is that they've figured out the laziest, simplest, quickest way for you to do every fucking thing they need you to do. So as long as you learn to do everything the way that they want you to do it, you're literally going to do it the laziest, quickest, fastest way possible. So it's actually an easy fucking job. You just got to do the thing over and over again, and boom, you make easy money. Especially in like a Dunkin's with tips. Dude, are you kidding me? If you're good at a job like that, you can take home like $80 a day in tips in some of those stores.
Really?
Dude, all right. When I met my wife, I worked for a Dunkin' Donuts, all right? I was able to, on tips alone, drop $300+ to buy a plane ticket for her to come home from California early from a trip that she was on. Something went wrong. I had to fucking cancel that ticket, eat that $300+, bought another one, still all on the tip money, and was able to rent a limo to go pick her up from the airport, all on tip money from Dunkin' Donuts, because I was in a busy store that had good people, so we made good tips. A morning rush, you could easily make a couple $100 in tips split amongst all your people.
Wow, that's crazy. I would never have thought that it would be like that lucrative, honestly.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like if you got good people and you build good relationships with customers. Every customer that buys a coffee, say, drops 75 cents to a dollar in a cup, right, for a tip, and you see a couple hundred people every morning, it's a couple hundred bucks right there.
True.
Like, it's not unusual. We would see a couple hundred people through the drive-through and probably close to another 100 people walk in at the front counter in the store I worked in, because we were in a pretty damn busy store. So yeah, like, you could make some good money if you had a good crew. And that was the thing. Like, if you just learn to do it the way that they teach you to do it, you're doing it the most effective, quick, most efficient way. And in turn, you're going to do it the fastest way, and that's going to make you the most money. Same goes for McDonald's, Wendy's, all those. If you just do it exactly the way that they taught you, the way that the book tells you, it'll be perfect every time.
And so you'll be all set. Someone needs to talk to the Burger King across the street from where I work, because they be slow as fuck, homie. Like, I pull up to the window.
Dude, Burger King's kind of always suck. I don't know why, bro.
I just go there because it's close and it's cheap, and I can just grab something real quick and it'll get me through. You know what I mean? But I'll go there, dude, and I'll pull up to the drive-thru. No one in the drive-thru at all. No one really in the parking lot. And they're like, "Hi, welcome to Burger King. I'll be right with you." There's no one fucking there, dude. Who are you talking to? Or what are you busy doing right now? There ain't nobody at this fucking Burger King. Just take my fucking order. And then I'll sit there for like 2 minutes. And they're like, "Okay, what can I get for you?" And it's same thing every time. And then I fucking pull up to the window. They take my money. And then I'm just sitting out in front of this fucking thing for fucking ever. I'm like, what are you guys even doing back there? Is there like one guy working here?
Yeah, are you grinding the fucking patty?
Yeah. I'm like, this is like, it's just ridiculous, dude, how slow they can be sometimes.
That's the reason I think why BK is quickly going bankrupt.
Yeah, their food's not really that great, but their double cheeseburgers, you know, it'll get me by.
Man, I loved a good Whopper back in the day as a kid, but it just shit got worse and worse at the one that was in my neighborhood, and it finally went under. And then, just not too many around anymore.
Dude, I was pissed one day I went there and they gave me double cheeseburgers with no pickles, no mustard, no ketchup, just patties and cheese, bro. It was the driest fucking double cheeseburger, and I was so upset. I didn't want to turn around and go back because I was like, fuck, I only have so much time during my lunch break. I was pretty upset.
That's no bueno. That's terrible. That's a crime.
It was a very sad double cheeseburger eating experience, dude.
Yeah, that shit's tough. But yeah, at this point, that's a company I don't think we're going to see last a whole lot longer. There's a few out there I don't think are gonna last much longer. There's I think there's like a food awakening, if you will, amongst consumers lately. And they're like, listen, if you're gonna charge me $8 for a friggin' full size, you know, burger and fry, and it's literal garbage, why am I gonna come here in the first place? I mean, McDonald's wants to fix their fucking patties now. Like,
dude, did you guys know about this about McDonald's? Did you see that they're bringing back the double Big Mac?
I did.
Oh, we always have that. So,
well, whoop de doo for you, Chris. I was gonna say something else, but I was like, no, that's kind of.
I heard that they were bringing back the Grand Big Mac. Up here, which I don't know if you guys always
have. The Grand Mac was shit, because wasn't that where they just took like the quarter pounder patties and made a Big Mac out of it?
It's like not really, but it's kind of, yeah. Like they're very close to that, but they taste more like the regular Big Mac patty.
Yeah, it's just like a thicker patty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably like a 50% bigger patty
Here's overall. A hack for you, for anybody out there that just wants a better overall Big Mac experience. Just get a quarter pounder with cheese and tell them to put Mac sauce on it, or tell them to make it like a Mac, and then you get the shredded lettuce as well. But dude, way better. The patty's better.
Yep. 100%. Not that anybody should really eat there, but I mean, fuck, dude. If you're just, gotta, if
dude,
you're just
honestly,
trying to drop
I don't
two,
give
3 bucks.
Fuck, bro, give me some McDonald's, dude. I crave it from time to time. And, dude, honestly, this is my go-to every time I go, bro. Give me a large fry, bro, because I love them salty fries, especially when they're fucking nice and fresh. And then just give me two fucking double McDoubles or two of their double cheeseburgers and throw some Mac sauce on those, bro. And I'll just smack two of those bad boys down real quick, like, and then wash them down with them French fries. Or honestly, most of the time I start with the French fries because once they start getting cold, they're not as good. So I usually eat my fries first. Are you guys like that? Do you guys eat your fries first?
So, no, I'll eat some fries first.
Are you guys that eat?
I'm not
fries
like
the
first thing
the
I
bag?
Do is take a bag of the burger or a bite of the burger. That's not me. No, no.
Are you guys the people that eat fries out of the bag as you're driving home?
Sometimes,
dude. I will. I do prefer to eat the fries hot. If that makes. If that's what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I mean, like, there's times, bro, where, like, I'll go to, like, McDonald's or something, and I'll get fries. And depending on which McDonald's I'm at and how far from the house I am, the fries will most likely end up being gone by the time I get home because I'm just smacking them out of the bag in the car driving home because,
like,
they're just so good.
If I'm buying it for me and me alone, then I usually will just – be gross and just pull off to a parking spot after I hit the drive through and just eat in my car real quick. And then,
oh, no, I get that too. But yeah, most of the time I just like driving home and then sitting at home and then fucking eating because I'll kick my shoes off. You know,
if I'm doing that, it's usually because I'm bringing food home for somebody else as well. And in which case, I'm usually not going to eat anything out of the bag because I don't want to be accidentally pulling from their fries too.
Oh, I don't care, dude. I just fucking go
dude, that's like all part of like you getting it, bro.
Yeah,
that's like
it's fucking.
If you go get a bunch of people beer and everybody hands it $20 for a 12 pack, and it was $18.50, guess what? That $1.50 is yours,
it's
homie.
Drive through tax.
It's the same
bro.
Shit.
It's a drive through tax, bro. You make me go to the drive through. I tax you some French fries. Dude, there used to be times too where I'd actually order an extra small fry and just eat the small fry in the car because I know I'd if I didn't I would eat the fucking fries before I got home and then I'd be like upset I didn't have any fries to eat with my burger.
I will say I love the fact that somebody out there has made a like fry and dip holder for the car.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, bro, it's like a little plastic thing and it sits like in I don't remember if it was like in your cup holder or like
I'm sure
off,
it probably does
or off something else, but yeah, the idea was that you had a slot for your fry pod and then a little spot for some dip, and then you could have like there was like a model that you could use for your chicken nuggets if you wanted, so you could put your nuggets there and your dude, dip like dope.
That would be crucial, bro, because eating nuggets and driving is kind of a bitch. Not that you should eat and drive.
Well, have you've seen the pro tip, right? Of you take the nugget packet, you open it, and then you slide the straw through the center, and you sit it on top of your cup.
Oh yeah, I've seen that, but I've never done it.
That is a slick one because then you
dude,
can
dude. I saw another
fries.
One where it's like the way that the McDonald's fry container is like you actually can like bend it over, and it makes like this perfect little like platform for your ketchup. You ever seen that?
I have. And it does
which,
work well.
To me, it blew my mind. I was like, wait
I've
a
never
second.
Seen that.
What? Dude, it was honestly, James, it was one of those like random advertisements for on Twitter,
like,
I think,
you,
for
like
life hacks.
Do you like unfold it or something?
No, like you just, so you know how like the front has like the U, like the kind of like a, mm-hmm. a basin, and then the back arches up. You just like basically like flip down the back and it just like creates this like perfect little like half circle tray that you could like put your ketchup on, and then you just have your fries, and you can be dipping. It's not in all over your fries. You'll have to like Google fries ketchup, McDonald's fries ketchup, or something, and it'll probably show you what I'm talking about. But oh, when I saw it, I was like, yo, that makes so much sense.
Do you guys know the hack for the little white ketchup cups that you see at certain places?
Yes.
Where you flip them over and smash them, and then you fucking they expand to where you can fit twice as much fucking sauce in them. Not only that, but what you could do is you could use them as a lid to cover up the other sauce so you could take sauce with you.
Yep. And you can also open it and turn it into a tray if you want.
Yeah.
So like once you get it home or to your table, you can unfold it and it'll open into a flat tray.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Did you also know that Chinese food boxes open up into plates?
That I love. Yep. Yep. Just take the wire out and it'll open into a whole tray. Perfect for lo mein if you're going to smack that lo mein, but I just like to eat the lo mein out of the carton anyway. Let's talk about lo mein. I want some lo mein. That's not what I'm making for dinner. Damn.
Dude, actually, you know what? I might have to get some Chinese food this week. I was already planning on going out for dinner once, so maybe that'll have to be next week. I don't want to like try to go out for dinner like multiple times a week, but.
Oh, it's hard for me not to at the moment.
Well, for me, it's a hassle, bro. Like, I don't live close to anywhere. Yeah. And like, if I want, like, I have to drive at least 15 minutes to go to like any level of restaurant. Like, they have, yeah, 15 minutes away, there's like a McDonald's, there's a Wendy's, there's like multiple pizza places and like a few other kind of things. Like, there is Chinese food restaurant and whatever. But like, dude, there's actually on the note, dude, oh my God, I need to find out what this place is called and I'm going to like shill it on here. just for whatever reason, because people need to know about it. Dude, they had this barbecue. I went to my sister's probably 2-3 weeks ago, and she ordered barbecue from this place. And it was like a dinner for four. There were seven of us that ate it, and there was still leftovers. But, dude, it was like a pizza tray, like a pizza box, okay? And on the inside of the pizza box, there was like probably like at least two half chickens that were smoked. There was probably a couple pounds of pulled pork. There was like some brisket, and there was like garlic toast and like coleslaw and like all these things, like all inside this like dinner for four. And I was like, yo, this is legit. Like, I need to get myself some of this again because it was super, super good.
Yeah, it sounds pretty fire, dude. You can never go wrong with some barbecue, man.
I'm totally ready for the weather to get a little bit more comfortable to work the fucking smoker again, because yeah, I need some good barbecue and I need it soon. But it's okay. I've been blessed to be able to play with some good steaks indoors, so I'll take that for what it's worth for right now, and I'm waiting for barbecue season.
Talking about this kind of makes you want to make some pulled pork. I might have to fucking hit up old Mama Janklin and be like, hey, Mom, give me a recipe for some pulled pork. I need the lowdown. Walk me through it because I'm dumb and don't know how to cook.
Pulled pork life hack. Having a crock pot.
Oh, boom. Yeah, dude. We got that and a pressure cooker.
Oh, yeah. You're all set.
Throw it in the old Instapot. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. I've seen some people do some magic with an Instapot, and Ooh,
you know what I could make though, dude? Some sloppy joes, some tater tots, dude. That's always my go-to side for sloppy joes, tater tots, bro.
That's the thing, right? Like, when it comes to potato, you can't go wrong.
Oh, yeah, but I just feel like the tot and the sloppy joe just go hand in hand. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like a french fry fits as well with the sloppy joe.
Oh, 100%. Like, you could just cover your tots with sloppy joe meat.
That's what I'm saying. Well, that's the thing, because you know you always have sloppy joe that falls out of your sloppy joe while you're eating it. And then you just scoop it up with your tots, bro. And then you got sloppy tots, and it's fucking... Or if you want to just take it a step further and kind of do what you're talking about, do some fucking sloppy joe tots, or AKA sloppy tots, and just throw a bunch of tots down on your fucking plate, cover them with sloppy Joe mix, throw fucking some shredded cheese on top, and have call it a fucking day.
Yeah, I mean, honestly though, if you're gonna do that, those got to be some extra crispy tots.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Extra, they stand up to that coating.
Throw them in the air fryer for extra 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Let them get extra crispy.
But oh man, yeah, it's that just sounds ridiculous. Like that's the kind of like little kid stoner food that like makes my heart happy.
Dude, that's anything that I eat pretty much. I'm still like on that same wavelength. You know what I mean? My diet hasn't changed since I was like 16. I still eat the same shit. Very rarely do I eat something fancy or, you know, out of the realm of like a teenage kid.
I'll tell you this. I tried a chicken parmo as opposed to a chicken parmesan. And they're very similar, but it's like you put a white sauce down instead of a red sauce on the chicken. And then when you serve it, you'll have like a red sauce with it on top of everything else. And it was actually quite incredible. Apparently it's pretty common in the UK, but my God, outstanding twist on something that I love. And all I could think is that in a sandwich, like a chicken parm, just like as a parmo. I did try one of those TikTok reel type recipes recently and did the grilled cheese pizza. That was awesome. That could
be pretty fire.
Yeah, like basically made grilled cheese, put it all together, and then put red sauce on the top, cheese, pepperoni, all that, put it in the oven to melt the cheese and all that, and then ate that.
Dude, I would do that, but with like some garlic toast.
Well, funny you should say that, because I made garlic butter and that's what I buttered it with.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So do that. And then instead of using like your standard, you know, what you'd probably use, like a maybe like a cheddar or like an American for like your grilled cheese, do like a maybe like a mozzarella provolone situation.
I used an actual pizza blend cheese. It was I think it's cheddar and mozzarella mixed. But yeah, pizza blend cheese inside, a little bit of the pepperoni inside, fold that sucker up. Now we've got garlic toast basically on all sides. I toasted both inside and outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, yeah, once it was all out, hit it with some sauce, cheese, more pepperoni. Baked that sucker, threw it in the broiler for a little bit just to really cook it on the top.
Yeah.
Dumb. One of the best grilled cheeses I've ever eaten in my life.
It's like a stuffed French bread pizza.
Yep. 10 out of 10. Highly recommend it. Funny you should say stuffed French bread. Not a stuffed French bread, but what about a stuffed French toast that I just saw recently too?
Dude, French toast, I'm down.
Take your bread, peanut butter on it, use the peanut butter to basically glue your two pieces of bread together, and then dip it in your egg mixture. Cook that.
Peanut butter French toast, I could be down with that.
Right? A peanut butter stuffed French toast, banger.
Do you throw some sliced bananas in there?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That could be fire, dude.
You could even do a peanut butter and jelly if you wanted.
Yeah, I'm not super into warm jelly. You know what I mean? I prefer my jelly to be like room temperature to maybe slightly chilled.
Are you talking about a PB&J?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even a huge fan of PB&Js.
Dude, I'll smack just a
I'll have like one piece of peanut butter and one piece with jam. I'd rather have that than them together. I don't know why. I really don't like peanut butter and honey sandwiches. Really don't.
I've never been into that, really.
When I was a kid, that was like pretty popular, but I just never liked it. I found it like, especially if you packed your lunch or it was in your packed lunch, like by the time you get there, like the honey would start to like crystallize a little bit on the bread, and then it's like you're eating it and it's almost got like a slight crunchiness. And like, you know me, James, like I don't fuck with crunchy peanut butter unless it's on toast. So like, I would just never, I never really liked it that much.
Dude, I'll smack an entire loaf of bread and half a jar of peanut butter and jelly, bro. Fucking easy. Give me some Knott's boysenberry jelly and a jar of some Skippy peanut butter and a loaf of some fucking like potato bread or something, dude. And that shit's going down.
Wish I had some jelly right now to make some PB&Js.
Dude, I am so stocked up right now, Sean. When I went to Knott's this last time, not only did I get my standard boysenberry, but of course I grabbed two jars of that boysenberry red currant one because that shit was so fire. Then I got this one. I tried a piece of toast with some on it last night. Boysenberry lemonade jelly.
Really?
Dude, so good. So good. I've got some cherry preserves, and then I've got like all kinds of apple stuff. Like I've got an apple cinnamon preserve. I've got some apple butter, a spiced apple preserve. What else do I have in there? All kinds of stuff, dude.
Oh, that sounds stocked. So good. So good. Well, I'm hungry, and it is the end of the show, so that just makes sense that we close the show with food talk. We do it all the time. So welcome to another episode of the Shed Time Podcast. And with all of that, I'm going to go ahead and set it on the run like we always do. So that means Uncle Chris, kick it off.
Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Appreciate you guys. Yeah, I mean, another episode under our belts. Every episode that we record, honestly, I just feel like so chilled after today's one of those days. I have not had like the greatest week. And I'm sure that my next week's probably not going to be great either. But it's always like a good way for me to finish a Sunday, just to kind of like hang out. I feel like a little bit more centered after I talk to you guys, even if we have never talked about anything that has to do with me. I just feel like I always gain a little bit of perspective, and I just feel a little bit better about like going to bed that night and everything that's going to happen kind of going forward. So thank you, gentlemen, for that. Yeah, I'll just shill it. Go to shutdownpodcast.com. Go check it out. Go give it a gander. Click on it. Give us some reviews. Of course, you know, you can check out the YouTube channel as well. It sounds like we've been getting some reasonable traction over there. So feel free to subscribe and leave a comment on those videos. I'm sure that somebody is going to give you some level of reaction or answer any questions you guys might have. Of course, we do have a Patreon that you guys can check out also, which only just kind of adds to the content that we can do here just by, you know, adding a little bit of extra funds that allows us to kind of do certain things like when we did the candy and certain things like that. Yeah, I think that's everything for me. Everybody be safe, have a good week, and live your best life. James, take it away.
As always, shout out to the boys here, and shout out to all the shed heads for all your guys' support. We greatly appreciate it. Love getting to chat with the boys. It's something I look forward to every week, and hopefully you guys enjoy it as well. And if you do, leave those 5-star reviews on all those podcasting platforms. That helps us out in the old algorithm, lets more people find out about the podcast and all that good stuff. So hopefully that can help us grow as far as a community and that sort of thing. And if you want to join us in a more direct way as far as community goes, check out the old Patreon, because we do have some links for a Discord there, as well as some other cool discounts and, you know, early access to episodes and the such as. So go check that out. And of course, you can get a double dose of us if you want to check us out on Friday over on my YouTube channel for the Green Room, a little more vape oriented content, but a live show where you guys can chat with us in real time over there on Friday night, spreading some positivity. And then other than that, you guys know the deal. We'll be here in the shed doing what we always do. So I'm gonna end it as I always do, sending out all those positive vibes. Crisp high fives. Don't forget to tell someone you love them, and a little bag or dab will do you.
That's a fact, and it sounds like the boys hit it all. So, of course, ShedTimePodcast.com has links to everything. The Patreon, the Frames Jankman Vapor channel for the Green Room, and so much more. Merch store included. So, you guys know what I'm going to tell you. Don't let the best get you down. Be cool. Don't be a dick. And whatever it is that you do, be sure and have some fun, because this is the Shed Time Podcast. It's time to roll on up and roll on out. Dynavap, Dynavap, Dynavap.
Looking to cut the cord on your dry herb vape? DynaVap. Trying to get the best taste from your herb? DynaVap. Ready to take your sesh to the next level? Then meet DynaVap, the best way to vape your flower or concentrate. Concentrates? That's right. Your flower or hash can be vaped using DynaVap. Check out DynaVap.com to learn more. That's DynaVap.com. Lose the ash? DynaVap.
What's going on, Shedheads? It's your boy, Frames Janklin. Are you looking to step up your match game or have a raw copper, brass, or stainless mod or RDA that you're absolutely tired of polishing? Then you need to go and hit up my man, Ashton, of Palmer's Powders. He does some absolutely amazing powder coating work. He offers many different colors and finishes at an absolutely killer price. This man is taking powder coating to a whole new level, and he can make your setup an absolute masterpiece. You can go follow him over on Instagram at Palmer's Powders, and you can go check out pricing on his website, palmerspowders.com. That's palmerspowders.com. And as always, let's just vape on, Shedheads.
I want you to think of your favorite rebuildable right now. Yeah, okay, so you have a layer cake in your hand, and now you're about... Oh, sorry, yeah, that's not everyone's favorite. That's just mine. So think of your favorite reboldable atomizer. Think about how good of a vape it produces for you. Now, take that and amplify it. And the way that you amplify that is you put in some Breezone coils. Breezone coils are handcrafted in Adelaide, Australia. They're made from some of the finest quality wire that you can get. I believe it's Wire Buddha. You take those coils, you take them out of that phenomenal packaging that clearly shows how much care that Adam puts on the quality of his coils and the insurance that you get them in good shape. You put them in that favorite RDA, and guess what? You have coils that now sing better than Celine Dion. Go check out Breezone Coils. You can find them on localvape.com and also steelvalleyvapors.com. Saw it.
Very good, very nice. Yay. We make a good show. Okay. Now, there's the button.